And welcome back in Stripe Show Podcast. I'm your host, Travis Fulton. Thank you for making us part of your day. How about that? World number one versus world number two at Olympia Fields in a playoff. I love it. Absolutely love it. We have been entertained. DJ goes 30 under in Boston, and we get the two best players down the stretch, dropping bombs. First DJ to get into the playoff, and then Rom just doubles it up. Big old snake across the green on 18, double breaker, perfect. That's why you leave the flag in, folks. That flag stick got a workout over those 20 minutes. The ball's just banging into the center of it, and John Rom gets the big win and sends us now to the Tour Championship, the top 30. And to help me break it all down, the voice and co-host of the new post-game show for the PGA Tour, Jonathan Coachman. Coach, thanks for joining me. I know you're on the West Coast.
Man, I tell you what, it's great to hear you say dropping bombs, because that's exactly what happened yesterday. There's nothing, Travis, that I love doing more than talking golf. And if I stutter here and there, it's because it's very early, but I'll get up at any time of the day to talk about golf, and especially what we saw yesterday in the last couple of weeks. It's been fantastic.
Well, first off, I'm stoked that you are doing the post-game show for the PGA Tour. I've been following your career for a long time. Big fan of your radio show at ESPN, talking all things sports. And it's cool to see you now fully integrated into the game. Tell us a little bit about this post-game show you're doing for the PGA Tour.
Well, yeah, and I appreciate you saying that, because I played college basketball, and I've always had a career where I feel like if you're going to be at this level, that you have to be an expert. And that's just how I feel. And, you know, I knew basketball and I knew football. But when I was in high school and college, I knew I had to get into golf, because when you're in TV, that's what you do. You play in a lot of golf tournaments. And over the course of the last, I guess, 20 years, I've been very blessed, Travis, to be on national TV since my early 20s. But I knew I wanted to do golf, and I wanted to do it at a high level. And so three years ago, I sent a blind email to the PGA Tour basically saying, this is what I would do to make your product better. Not that there was something wrong with your product, but to make it better. And to give the executives credit, they didn't look at it as a negative, because I think we all who love the sport of golf have seen the sport grow. We've seen the talent grow, but we need to see the coverage grow too. And it's got to be more diverse. And it's not that you got to have a black person here, you got to have an Asian person here. You need to have people of all walks of life, all perspectives, all cultures, to bring the game, which is a worldwide game. And I've been on worldwide TV for a long time, so I've been in all these different cultures. And so now, slowly, with the PGA Tour, starting with one tournament 2 years ago, working our way up, and now that we work together and we do PGA Tour Live, I came to them and I said, we need to do a post game, a different kind of post game. And there's nothing wrong with Golf Channel, but more fun, more high energy, no shirts and ties, and really talk about what happened, but also do some fun things too. And last night we had WWE superstar The Miz on, because he's a golf nut, and he's in the new commercial with Justin Thomas. And he told us this great story about, so when he was taping the commercial, he got to interview Justin Thomas, and he asked him, if you gave me 30 shots, could I beat you? And Justin Thomas says, absolutely not. And that sent him into a tizzy. And it was an incredibly funny story. So I tell you that because we need to bring people in from all different walks of life. And The Miz is a huge golf nut. But most people wouldn't know that because they may not watch wrestling. You may not be a wrestling fan. But that's what we're going to try to bring to the show, is different perspectives, different people. My co-host Troy Mullins is a long drive professional. She's not on the LPGA Tour. And we did that for a reason. Everything you see, Travis, on the show is for a reason. And we're trying to grow internally at the PGA Tour. And my goal is to create so much content that people can enjoy, that it helps the players' brands within the brand. And then everybody benefits and everybody gets to enjoy the fruits of the labor.
I think it's great. And it's, you know, one of the things that you and I have in common, we both worked at Golf Channel and did a lot of morning drive. Yeah. And, you know, when I was there, and I've been kind of pounding this pavement for many years, is that, you know, look, you don't have to be a former player to bring a perspective to the game. You know, like everybody, for me, I just use myself as an example. you know, they're like, well, you're a teacher and you're going to do all the teaching segments and the heavy lifting segment. That's great. And like, and I'm all in on that. And that's my main expertise, but it's like, I have a lot of other skill sets here. I can sit at the table and talk golf and have an opinion and be conversational. Right. And it took a while to kind of get to that point, but it's like, look, you don't have to be a former player to sit in the number two seat, number three seat, number four seat, bring energy, be entertaining, be conversational, have an opinion, all the things that make up good television. And I think we're getting there. I think we're getting there. And I think you guys are on the right track there with the post game show. And, you know, hey, if you look into my Stripe Show podcast, you see with my guest list, instruction's like 25% of it. I mean, it's just, it's anybody and everybody coming in and talking golf. And I think it's important. And I think we're getting there, Coach. I got to ask you real quick. You've done a lot of professional wrestling.
Yeah.
And you talked about Miz. Anybody else we need to know about that's like loves the game?
There's a lot of guys that love the game. And when we were still doing Long Drive at the Golf Channel, I was quietly putting together a made-for-TV event that would partner a Long Drive professional and a WWE superstar. Booker T, who's a WWE Hall of Famer, he lives in Houston. Yep. He actually has a golf hole that he built in his backyard. JBL, who's my co-host on my Follow the Action sports betting podcast. We once played Pebble Beach together. We played Pinehurst number two together. He made me hit four times out of the little pop bunker at seven at Pebble Beach because we were betting and we were playing stroke play instead of match play. And that was the last time that I ever played stroke play and bet in my life because I couldn't even get the ball out of that little pop bunker to the right at Pebble Beach. But there's a lot of guys. Baron Corbin loves golf too. And there's a lot of guys that have called me now that I'm more visible in the golf world that have said, listen, if you're doing, because they know I'm an idea guy. I'll throw 10 ideas against the wall. And if one of them sticks, fantastic. And they're like, listen, if you start to create something, we want to be involved in that. Because every WWE superstar, they know that to build their, I call it the brand within the brand. And if you want to build your own brand, the Travis Fulton brand, the coach brand, the whoever brand, you've got to do things outside of that comfort zone. You can't stay in your own world and expect yourself to grow exponentially. And the really smart ones do that. And it's so funny that you bring up the teaching aspect. And the thing about it is, these executives have to change, and slowly we're getting these new young executives, and it's one of my passions. I want to be an executive. I make no bones about it. It was never going to happen at ESPN because when you're at ESPN, you're either a talent, you're a producer, you're whatever you are, that's the lane that you're in. And so I know that I'm a great leader. I know that there are a lot of great young minds that are not being heard because they're looked at as, well, you're 23, you can't do that. So when you bring up, you don't have to be a former X, Y, and Z. I'm totally in on that. And I've actually told the PGA of America, who I work with, I'm an ambassador with their PGA Works program and with Steph Curry and with Paul Millsap of the Nuggets. And we are now in it's a very slow process because they've been stuck in their ways for so long. But they're now understanding they have to change and they have to broaden. And it can't just be about posting a 30-second training video on how to chip and get people to come to your platform and take in your content. You've got to make it entertaining, and then you can build up those teachers and those PGA professionals. And so I'm completely bought in with what you're saying. And I believe that we're starting to get through to the executives. I know we're doing it with the PGA Tour. They're fantastic. And now PGA of America is coming along too.
Yeah. Well, that's very well said. And I'm not sure how you and I haven't work closer together over the years.
I know. Knowing. I know.
Well, I look forward to future conversations. I want to move this one to professional golf and what we really, not just what we saw last week, but even the week before. I know you were on the call for PGA Tour Live with our man, Billy Kratzer and Karen Stupples and other, but John Rahm opens up with 75 on Thursday, 71 plus six, usually you're not going to see that player come back and win a golf tournament, but he goes 66-64 at Olympia Fields, which was just incredible golf. The only bogey he made was on the fifth where he picked up his ball before he marked it.
I've never seen that before. I've never seen that before in my life.
I haven't either. I think I've done it.
Oh, my buddies have certainly done it when we're playing a $2 Nassau on Saturday morning, but I've never seen a professional do it. And no. Thank God, Travis, thank God the rules have evolved. And probably 30 years ago, he would have got disqualified. And thank God it's no longer or a two-shot penalty. It's just one shot. You make a mistake, let's move on. Thank goodness.
That's thank goodness. True. You know? Probably 30, 40 years ago, he probably would have had to do 50 push-ups on the green. but that was the only bogey he made. I mean, you saw Olympia Fields. I mean, that place was a beast. If I told you, hey, coach, Rahm's going to go 66, 64 over the weekend, he's going to spot him a stroke, and he's going to win it, what would you say?
Well, I would have told you, if you would have told me Thursday night after watching the first round that anybody would even shoot a 66, I would have told you you were crazy and are you watching a different tour event this week other than that one? Then you backed that up with a 64. I think you could argue, Travis, that that was one of the best weekends of golf, maybe in PGA Tour history. And here's another. You said people normally don't get to plus six and come back and win. Here's a stat for you. Okay. That one time since 2009, a player has shot a 75 in the first round or higher and come back to win the golf tournament. Wow. And that player was Brooks Koepka in 2018 at the, wait for it, U.S. Open.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
So it's got to be a tournament like that for that to happen, because most tournaments, guys are shooting 4, 5, 6, 7 under every single day. So what he did this past weekend was incredible. And to be able to, because you know when he was hitting on the range, he knew exactly what was going on. And he knew that DJ had a 40-footer and that he thought in his mind it was over. And then when he dropped that bomb, for having no people there, there was a lot of noise. There was a lot of noise.
Yeah.
And to regroup and come back and make that putt on the first playoff hole tells me a lot. And I'll back it up and say it's one of the best weekends of golf we've ever seen.
Yeah. I mean, it's got to be up there. I mean, I didn't see 10 under. I mean, without the rain, they were predicting a little bit of rain coming in, and I was saying, if they soften the course, these guys will be at the 7 or 8, you know, but they didn't get the rain. So I based off what I saw Thursday, Friday, I did not see 66, 64 over the weekend. And let's talk about Rahm here for a minute. You know, this is a guy in my backyard here, it's TPC Sawgrass. It's about 4 or 5 miles from where I live. And in 2019, he was in the fairway bunker on the 11th final round, had the lead. Rory was right alongside, and he got into this disagreement with his caddy about whether to lay up or go for it. And if you're on the left side of 11 at Sawgrass, you lay up. I mean, you lay up. He had a tough lie. You just lay up short, hit your wedge on. But Rahm insisted, give me the forehand, I'll hook it around to the front of the green. And the caddy was like, absolutely not. The caddy gave it to him. Yep. And he hit it in the water and he made six and he spiraled. I think he finished outside the top 10. Rory wins, right? So learning moment for Rahm. Since that time, coach, okay? Since that moment, he wins Zurich in April. In 2019 with Ryan Palmer. He wins the Irish Open right after that. He wins the Spanish Open. He wins the DP World Tour Championship, also the Order of Merit. Flip page, wins Memorial this year, wins the BMW Championship. How's that since that decision? I think we're watching John Rahm grow up right now before our eyes here over the last really month and a half. I mean, he is on a run here. And, you know, one of the things that he's committed to is controlling that emotion, you know, in the game and not run so hot under the collar. Things are going to happen. Chill out. Keep playing. Don't let the emotion get in the way of you continuing to make decisions and play. And I think he's doing it. I think at age of 25, clearly with that run since the Players back in 2019, he's one of the top players in the world and growing up right before our eyes.
I think you bring up several great points in the last couple of minutes. And starting with that decision at 11 at TPC, it would have been crazy if he would have come out and blamed his caddy and taken it out on his caddy and gone down that road. But I think ultimately that helped him in so many different ways. And he can look back now, and I don't know anything about his relationship with his fiance, and they're close to getting married, but that changes a lot. And you've seen it in Rory, where your perspective changes, where you realize my whole life isn't just about what happens on the golf course. And when you come out of college and you've been successful in college on the PGA Tour already, you don't have that buffer where you get to start living life and then you become a professional. He just went right into it, and he was contending and he was competing at a very, very high level. And I think now what you're starting to see, and I'm still trying to figure out, Travis, why when we get in those very quick conversations of who's the best player, who's the most explosive player, it's always DJ, Rory, Tiger at times, Bryson now. But for some reason, John Rahm's name doesn't pop into the first four or five names that are in your head. And they absolutely should, because he's winning at really, really tough golf courses. And in doing so, he's shooting really low scores. And he has now created a resume where you have to put him in the top two or three players in the world. And now the next obvious step for him, you got to start winning in majors. You've got to start contending in majors. But now with the new perspective and the way that he handles a ball hitting off of a tree, which happened yesterday and came down, and he still got up and down for par from off the green. Those type of situations may not have happened a year and a half ago, but they're happening now. And that's why you're starting to see him be able to come back on a very, very difficult golf course when he's several shots back and force a playoff and win in the playoff. I don't think it's any surprise at everything you described, the evolution of John Rahm and what we're seeing this summer.
Let's take a second to talk about the guys and girls over at Encore Golf. Encore has earned a reputation of having the most cutting-edge technology in their golf balls that the industry has seen in quite some time. Their team in Buffalo, New York, is changing the script of golf technology through the perimeter-weighted designs, use of high-density particles, and even a nano-transitional layer in their latest creation, which offers players enhanced accuracy and control for every shot on the course and extreme velocity off the tee. They already have their award-winning Elixir and Avant 55 golf balls, but the new Vero X1 is the highest performance ball to date. With their full suite of golf balls, they are transforming the game for players of all skill levels. Visit EncoreGolf.com/Travis Fulton for more details about their products that are revolutionizing the game. Now back to the Stripe Show podcast.
I mean, you look back at, the next step for him now is a major championship for sure. I think clipping the Memorial, that win, and now the BMW, he's got that next tier win, right, with the best players in the world. So now the next step, obviously, is a major. He was tied for third at the U.S. Open last year. So, you win at Olympia Fields, you're going to be a favorite to win at Wingfoot or any, U.S. Open course. But who knows? I mean, when I was growing up, the U.S. Open played more like Olympia Fields, which I like once in a while. And I want to ask you about this as we kind of break down these three courses in the playoffs. But, that was a traditional U.S. Open course. But who knows what they're going to do? They've done some different things. But I think we'll probably see the course set up like that. For sure, and demanding with all 14 clubs, 2, 3, 4 under winning the golf tournament. But you look at this run of three courses here in the playoffs. I think the tour has really zeroed in on now and have got a nice run of three here. I really like the way this is playing out. TPC Boston was last week. You were on the call for PGA Tour Live. DJ blitz it, goes 30 under. I got to ask you, I was texting with Kratzer. I got to ask you here, what was going through your mind? Okay, he's 12 under through 12. I mean, what do you say? Or he's 12 under through 12. What do you even say?
Well, we had a chance to make history. And so Billy Kratzer has no reason to be nice to me. He has no reason to be the way he is to me with everything he's done and the stature he has with the PGA Tour and ESPN, everybody else. I call him affectionately, I call him the governor. He's the governor because he runs everything. He runs the state of affairs. And so I think he's really embraced the nickname. I think he really likes it.
Good.
And so we're sitting there and we're calling it, and Scheffler makes the 59. I had never called a 59 before. And it was incredibly exciting. And then all of a sudden we're looking And because of the Scheffler 59, DJ had already started his round. So now we're looking over, and he's 7 under through seven, and we're still in the glory of the 59 with Scheffler. And so all of a sudden, he gets to 11 under through 11 holes. We're like, what? What are we supposed to do? So now we're scrambling. Like, has there ever been 59 twice in the same round? Has there been a 57? That's the kind of things we were talking about, because it was not out of the realm of possibility for him. 11 under was a 60. He had 7 holes to get 3 more birdies. Well, he just had 2 eagles and all these birdies, and all of a sudden he just stops, and he pars his way out, and he can't even birdie 18. Yeah. So we had so many different emotions going on, so many different conversations. We were incredibly disappointed, and we gave DJ a lot of credit because he was asked, I think it was by Todd Lewis in his post round, did you want to shoot a 59? It was somebody. And he looked at him, and as only DJ can, he goes, yes, I wanted to shoot a 59. I'd never done it before. And he started laughing in that kind of goofy, aloof laugh that he has, you know. Yeah. But it was a very honest question, because you never know with DJ really what drives him.
Yeah.
But I think now, and I think you saw it yesterday, we saw a more serious DJ. And I don't know if Wayne Gretzky has gotten his head or if somebody's talked to him, but to me, the last 2 weeks, he's showing that he wants people to realize that at their best, DJ is the absolute best player in the world. And now he's starting to show me a little bit of intensity, which we've never seen before. And I love it.
Yep.
And if he shows me that intensity, there's no telling what kind of a run he can go on.
Yep. I think, you know, when you get peak DJ, peak Rory, that's must-watch TV. It doesn't matter if they're 10 ahead or 1 behind. You got to watch it, because it's top shelf golf. You're not going to see it go any better than that in today's game when Rory and DJ are on full go. Now, Rom, okay, he's probably in that category as well. But I go back to these courses.
Mm-hmm.
TPC Boston, I've played it a few times. You know, it's like it's a tough course. It really is. These guys make it look easy, but it's a strokes gain approach, strokes gain off the tee kind of golf course, right? I mean, it's a tee to green, ball striking kind of place. One of my favorite stats of the year, Coach, Dustin Johnson, strokes gain tee to green at the Northern Trust, positive 18.1. I mean, that's
ridiculous.
Stupid.
That's ridiculous.
So, you know, you've got that, right? So then you go to Olympia, and Olympia is like, okay, you got to strike your golf ball, but you better bring your short game, and you better be a good lag putter, and you better be able to knock down the 4 or 5 footer, right? It levels it out. You got to hit all 14 clubs at Olympia, then, which I love, right? And you're not going 18, 19 deep. Certainly not going 30 deep at Olympia Fields. Now, then you go to East Lake, which kind of fits in the middle to me. It's not as difficult as Olympia, but statistically, when you look at it over the years, it's not as favorable tee to green as well. It's got a little bit more balance. Like you can win there having a good putting week. You can win there having a good ball striking week. You know, you got to kind of level it out a little bit. So I think it kind of does equal the playing field to some degree, as we've seen over the years. Rory blitzed it last year at 18 under. Tiger won back in 18, 11, Xander at 12, Rory back in 16 at 12. So I like it. I think they've nailed it. I would love to see Olympia come back right in the middle. I think it's a really good run here of 3 courses to find the FedEx Cup champion. What say you?
I think that I don't remember the last time that a course played this difficult, talking about Olympia Fields, and universally the players praised it. Because normally, when it plays like that, you're going to have at least part of the players say, the setup's too hard, or it's too, you know, they didn't do this or they didn't do that. We had Jim Furyk on the post game last week, our first week, mm-hmm. and he said, I'd love to see Olympia Fields set up like a U.S. Open, just maybe not that hard. I almost feel like the tour officials watched our show, and on Thursday they listened to him, and by Sunday they continued to listen to him because he won the U.S. Open there in 2003. And they changed it over the course of the 4 days, which made it for an exciting finish. I don't think it would have been as exciting, Travis, if they would have kept it the way it was on Thursday for Sunday, because then nobody could have come back. Nobody could have caught DJ and Hideki. And so to me, that's brilliant setup.
Yeah.
The only change that I would make, I like par 72 courses because I think it allows the big hitters and the short hitters, everybody, more of a chance of scoring. And I know that may sound dumb when you talk about 30 under at TPC Boston, but I'm saying in general, I like par 72s. Mm. I'm not a big fan of par 70s unless it's Eastlake. I love Eastlake.
Yeah.
When I play the video game, Eastlake's my favorite course to play on the video game. But if you're going to do a condensed three tournament instead of four, which again was another brilliant move, four tournaments was too many.
Yep.
And I would love to have a par 70. You have the 71 at Boston, and I would love to have a par 72 in there somewhere. That's a minor complaint for me. I wholeheartedly agree. I think the three are so completely different. And that's what you want when you're talking about playoffs.
Yep. That's right. Yeah, exactly. You want to have some variety there for sure. And Olympia Fields is made for Jon Rahm. I'm going to pat myself on my back here a little bit. I do a show for DraftKings. Rahm was my guy. Like, I was like, this guy's trending. This is the time he goes. You need to be on Rahm in the top 10. And you need to get up there with Finau. Here he comes, backdoor top five once again. And I liked Hideki too going in. I thought this was a place, wasn't going to be a putting competition. And he can ball strike his way. And he's certainly shown a little bit of life. But for another day, Coach, we're going to talk gambling and fantasy golf because you and I have that in common as well. So we'll save all that for.
But let me jump in real quick. I do want to say this, and it's not just to promote my betting podcast, but for people who want to bet, look at strokes gained. That's my secret. Hopefully none of the books are listening right now. Strokes gained, and you're never going to lose money on Saturday and Sunday. I had four picks in my podcast this week. And going into yesterday, we were winning all four bets, Travis, by 25 shots, 11 shots, 9 shots, and 6 shots. Mm. Now, Kevin Kisner only beat Hovland by one at the end of the day, but we still won the bet. So we went 4-0, and we weren't even sweating it going into Sunday.
What's the name of the podcast?
Follow the Action.
Okay.
Follow the Action is the name of the podcast. We have real gamblers who bet everything that they put out. That's what makes our show different, is that we don't just throw things out, hey, go bet on it. Our guys, we actually have an account, and everything we put out on the show, we actually bet it with real money.
Nice. I like it. I'm going to go check that out.
There you go.
Well, let's,
we drop every Wednesday.
Let's move this now to some betting here with the 30 guys that are remaining, right? Because we can bet on that. It's going to be a Friday start, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and the final round on a Monday, with it being Labor Day. It'll be the Tour Championship in Eastlake. I played Eastlake about, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago. Let me tell you something. The rough at Eastlake is for real. I mean, that is some thick stuff. You saw some thick stuff at Olympia. You're going to see very much the same stuff at Eastlake. The difference, you're going to go to some Bermuda kind of action though, right? So it's going to play a little different at Eastlake, but it's a great golf course. And the tour, you know, they switched to this format now where guys are going in starting at a certain number, right? Based off of how they've done to this point. DJ, of course, number one player in the world. Well, he's going to start number one in the FedEx Cup. He's minus 10. Jon Rahm, number two player in the world, number two in the FedEx Cup. He'll start at 8 under. Justin Thomas, number three player in the world, number three player in the FedEx, is minus 7. Hey, not bad, right? Like, this is working. this is working. 1, 2, 3. DJ, 10 under. Rahm, 8. JT, 7. There's Webb at 6, who decided not to play last week. Comes in
crazy.
With...
crazy.
He comes crazy. In with a fresh mind and...
Yeah, I guess.
Not that beat down. But anyway, Morikawa, there he is at 5. He's cooled off a little bit since the PGA. And then we go... Okay. 4 under, Coach. You got Berger, English, Bryson, Sungjae Im, Hideki. Okay. And then 3 under, you got Brendan Todd, Rory McIlroy, Patrick Reed, Xander, and then Munoz. So let's start there. We'll get to those bottom 15 here in a second.
Okay.
I mean, the first thing, like, these guys got to go. I mean, you just spotted DJ and Rahm, you know, a bunch of strokes. I mean, that's just... That's going to be a tough thing to overcome unless they just go out there and chop it. But what I've been seeing from DJ, I agree with you. This dude is focused. I think Brooks got in his head. I say, all right, Brooks, I'll show you. You know, let me, you got my attention. You got my attention. Now here I go, right? We know Rahm's playing well. We know JT can go. But you got some ground to catch up to. So let's start at minus four. All right. They're starting six back, coach. Give me a name that's going to give it a go here between Daniel Berger, Harris English, Bryson DeChambeau, Sung Jae-in, and Hideki Matsuyama.
And let's tell your listeners also, for those that think that we're crazy that somebody could come back, last year Rory started five back, and he ended up winning the FedEx Cup. So it's a different animal when you have to play from the lead starting out on Thursday. It really, really is. But I've got to pick somebody here. I'm fading Bryson all day. Bryson hasn't figured out that he's got to dial it back in order to compete and to win. Once he figures that out, I'll get back on his bandwagon. I'm going Daniel Berger. How can you not go Daniel Berger out of this group? He's been red hot. He's had a win. He's had a bunch of top fives since the restart. To me, this is an easy one at the minus fours. Daniel Berger's mine.
Yeah, I tend to agree. You know, Berger's that well-rounded. If people that follow me, they know I've been all over Daniel Berger most of the year. And I think, you know, Harris English has had a great year. He could have got a win at Boston if it wasn't for, DJ's deal. Sung Jae, goodness gracious, he's lost his game since the restart. Have you ever seen a player? Let me ask you this, Hideki. I'm watching Hideki. I mean, the dude looks like he's going to shoot 81 the way he's hitting it off the tee. And yet he's like one under coming up 18. I'm just like, how?
He's a player that costs people a lot of money because you want to bet against him every single time because he can explode and shoot a 78 on any given day. But if his stop at the top is just right, he can shoot a 62 also. We saw that at the Players. So he's somebody that I steer clear of. I did bet DJ yesterday and won that bet. But I steer clear of Hideki because you just never know what you're going to get from him.
Yeah. Yeah, he's fascinating to watch. Like from my background, like he opens the face going back, then he's got to close. He's hitting like these slices off the tee. But I'll tell you what, he's probably the most underrated player around the green on the PGA Tour. You want to watch people go around the green? You watch Patrick Reed. And I'll tell you what, I put Hideki right there. This kid can hit some phenomenal little short game shots around the green. And his short game was magic at
it really was great at
Olympia Fields. I'll go with you. I'll go Berger for sure.
All right.
He's a guy that he's got that well-rounded game for sure that can go. All right, let's go to minus three. Minus three. They're starting seven back. Brendan Todd, Rory, Patrick Reed, Xander, Munoz.
Normally I would pick Rory all day, except I can't pick somebody that 100% without question. When that baby monitor goes off, he's out. And I'm not going to be caught holding a ticket on somebody who's going to be in the delivery room. So I'm going to take Patrick Reed because he's also shown the ability to go low. He's not afraid of going low. He's not scared of looking you in the eye and saying, all right, I'm seven back of you, DJ. Let's play. And so I'm going to take Patrick Reed from this group.
Gosh, I cannot get on the right side of Patrick Reed. In my bets either. He's that one guy for me that's frustrating, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody has that one guy, you know, that's like, my goodness gracious. Like I put you in, you shoot, you miss the cut, then I don't, and you finish T3. Who's that guy for you?
For me, it's Lanto Griffin and it's Hideki. Lanto, last year I had him 45-1 when he won Houston. And so I'm like $100 better. I mean, I'm not a huge gambler, but so I won $4,500. And it's like, almost like the golfing gods are saying, we're going to take every dime of that back when you bet on Lanto Griffin moving forward. And so I've bet against him like 10 times, and all 10 times I've lost because Lanto is for real.
Yeah.
And when people start realizing that he's got a lot of talent, including myself, then we're going to start getting on his bandwagon.
Yeah. You know, I I'm with you. Rory's the obvious pick. He came back from five back last year. It's Brendan Todd, man. I'll tell you what, he is. I don't know what word.
He can't play on the weekends though,
yeah,
Travis.
He struggles.
You can't pick him and you can't bet on him on the weekends. You can't do it. He's great. He's great when there's no pressure. Great when there's no pressure.
Yep. And I'll go Xander. I think Xander's just been kind of like just a little bit neutral. He kind of shows signs, and it looks like the boats move. Oh yeah, the engine started. There he goes, and then like one of them cuts out, you know. And so he's just
The thing is though, like a Xander, a Sung Jae-in. When you look at it, you go, how are they in the Tour Championship the way they played the last 3 months? And we forget how incredibly important the fall schedule is now.
Right.
And these guys that win, like Tiger, Tiger was in the top 50s, but he hadn't played in 6 months because he wanted the Zozo. So these players got to understand these fall events, you got to play in them. You cannot skip them anymore. Yep. They're too important, way too important.
Xander was second tour championship last year. To your point, he was 10th at Zozo, second at WGC in China, second at Tournament of Champions.
There you go.
Lost in a playoff, there you go. I think. Yeah.
Yeah, to JT. Remember, he missed that short three-footer? Can you believe it?
Yep.
Yep.
And then, you know, he's just, you know, he doesn't go very far when he struggles. You know, he's going to be in that 20-25 range. You know, he was third at the Schwab, sixth at St. Jude. Playoffs, 25th at Northern Trust, 25th at BMW. Statistically, he's just kind of like, he's just kind of like, you know, the engine starts and it fails. And then he gets both of them going and then one cut. I don't know. Give me Xander. He's kind of due for me. He's due. I'll roll Xander there. All right. Now things
you're so positive about that.
I've got my homer guys, you know. Xander is one of them for sure. And there's another one here as we get to -2. These guys got some work to do. All right. There's your boy Lanto, -2. Scheffler, Neiman, Tyrrell Hatton, Tony Finau.
I mean, this was pretty easy for me. You got to have somebody that's is willing to go low, is confident going low, can go low. So I'm going Scottie Scheffler. I mean, he shot 59 a week ago. So I'm going to take him. Lanto will probably blow up and shoot a 59 right in my face because I picked against him, but I'm going to go Scottie Scheffler.
What's going to happen? I just made a note on Lanto. So if you're not going to bet him, then that's a for sure in there. But Scheffler, rookie of the year. You know, he could make a run here. And I tell you what, his game from college has transferred. I mean, he has been impressive. And this Neiman kid, you want to talk about ball striking? This kid can hit some shots. If his putter goes, he goes. He was impressive for me last week in his performance. I still think Tyrrell Hatton's one of the most underrated players in professional golf. I don't think he gets his due.
Nope. He's my favorite, though. When he's mic'd up, nobody's more entertaining than Tyrrell Hatton.
Yeah.
He's the best.
And he can putt. And when he goes, he fills it up. I got to go Finau. I mean, no one's going to make more birdies full system go than Finau, although Scheffler is going to be
there. Aren't we picking a winner here? Aren't we picking a winner? That's the whole point of doing this.
So, no, I didn't say winner. I said make a run.
Okay, make a run to do what? To win. Make a run to win. And Tony Finau, one time, not even in the continental United States, has he won. But you know what? You pick yours because I want to beat you. So pick Tony Finau. Go ahead.
Well, now wait, head to head, and we're gonna have some fun with this, Coach. Like I'm going head. We got our five head to heads, okay?
Yeah.
And then
I've got mine circled.
Okay, and then we'll make a friendly wager on who wins the most out of these head to heads. Who finishes the highest, right?
The total combined strokes.
There you go.
Total combined for our five, and we have the same. We have Berger, Reed, and Xander. Scheffler and Finau, and now we're going to the ones.
Okay, that's a deal. And by the way, and this is a shameless plug, so just bear with me here. Finau's coach, Boyd Summerhays, will be on the Stripe Show podcast on Wednesday as he makes his run for the Tour Championship and finishes slightly ahead of Scottie Scheffler. Let's go to -1.
Travis, there's no such thing as a shameless plug. All right, every plug matters. Every plug matters.
It does. Especially when you're your own business.
You're right. Absolutely.
-1. Getting tough. Kiz. Kiz cost me some money on Sunday. Answer. There's Abraham Answer. Speaking of playing good early, there's Ryan Palmer. There's Kevin Na. And somehow, Leash is in the Tour Championship after putting up a +30 burger in Olympia Fields.
I need to take Leishman out for dinner because he won me so much money this weekend. When you can bet against somebody for the tournament and you don't have to watch past Thursday, that's a great bet. And he was +8 after day one, plus whatever, 15 after day two. It was crazy how bad he's playing. The reason I picked against him, we had him on the charity challenge a week ago at Boston. And just for those nine holes, even though it's not very serious, he was hitting it all over the place. And I'm like, this dude's going to turn it on tomorrow? I don't think that's going to happen. So I bet against them all last weekend and won, and this weekend and won. So it'll be a cold day in hell before I pick him in our little contest right now. So I'm going to go with a guy who can go low. Last round of the PGA Championship, he shot a 64. And he's had a couple of good rounds the last 2 weeks, and he's motivated. I'm going Ryan Palmer.
Okay. That's not who I was going to pick. Cool. I don't know what happened to Answer's game here of late. Everybody was ready to like anoint him as the number one player in the world coming out of the President's Cup. And I was like, let's pump the brakes just a little bit here. let's see if he can get a win first. Kevin Na is like one of my favorite players to watch play golf, because he just grinds his way around. He's like the modern day Corey Pavin. Just plots it, bunts it out there. all of a sudden he's like, yeah, how's that? That's a 67. Like, what? I just shot 67. I'll go Kiz. It's between Kiz and Na for me, but I'll go Kiz. Kiz kind of struggled on Sunday, but he's been playing good golf. Really, really good golf. Third at the Wyndham, fourth at the Northern Trust. Backed it up Sunday at the BMW for T25. But Kiz in my box, Ryan Palmer in the coach's box. We got one more coach, and then I'm going to let you go because I know you got a busy day.
And we got to teach these kids. These kids got to learn.
Even par. No chance in hell any of these guys are going to win, but they're part of our bet. Cameron Smith, Vic Hovland, Mackenzie Hughes. Love to see him in the top 30. The champ, love me some Cameron Champ, and Billy Ho, former FedEx.
Man, I loved the interview by Mackenzie Hughes yesterday afterwards when he said, I didn't know if this putt was going to get me in, but I knew it was important. And I just love the fact when players say, this is important to me, I understand how much I get if I get into the Tour Championship. There's so many perks that the average fan doesn't think about. So when you see somebody pump their fist, Travis, at a 3-footer and they're 6 back, and I had my friends going, why is he so excited? I said, well, how about getting into every major, every WGC? How about $400,000 guaranteed in the prize pool at the Tour Championship? Guaranteed! So because of his reaction, and because of how excited he was, I'm taking Mackenzie Hughes at number 28 in my no chance in hell pick.
Well, it has value in our pick. You can't have him mailed in and put, plus 30 up and just collect the 30th place check. but Cameron Smith is in the top 30. How about that? Yeah, I wouldn't have had that coming into the season. I think Champ's kind of going the wrong way right now. I think Billy Ho's playing some pretty good golf. He clearly knows a thing or two about East Lake as well. So Billy Ho kind of struggling with the putter the last 2 weeks. I think he goes back to some good old Southern greens and he gets it going again. Billy Horschel is my pick to make a run from even. He'll finish -7.
Interesting.
No, he'll finish -6 and lose by 10.
Hey, well, if anybody's playing with house money, it's Billy Horschel.
Yeah, right.
Because if anybody watched yesterday, Corey Connors double bogeyed 18, and that allowed Billy Horschel to get in.
I know.
And he actually was like thanking him as they were walking off the 18th green. And Connors was laughing about it. I'm not so sure I would have been laughing about it, but I'm sure they're good friends, and he did it in a respectful way. But that's how he got in. Yep. So this is house money.
It is.
And I remember watching him and his wife real quick on morning drive the day after he won the FedEx Cup. And this was as normal a statement, like normal people like you and me. If somebody put $13 million in our checking account, you're damn right I'm going to get up at 5 a.m. to look to see if it's in there. And his wife, they ask him, is the money in there? People don't realize they get direct deposits just like everybody else does. Mm-hmm. And she said, we turned our computer on, looked at our account, and there was $13 million deposit, and we couldn't even believe it. Can you imagine that moment? Can you imagine that moment? It just, for regular people who just, at that point, Billy Horschel was a relative nobody still. And to win the FedEx Cup and play so well, and then to win $13 million, it literally was life-changing for him. Oh, yeah. And it was an awesome thing to see.
Yeah, it was. It was, and he's back. He's in the 30th spot.
Yep.
And we'll see how he does. So let's a quick review here. So we'll go back to four. So our picks, we, I forget, minus four, I had Berger. Or we both had Berger.
Yep, both got Berger.
Okay. At minus fours, minus three, you take Reed.
Yep.
And you have Xander. I got Xander. Minus two, you got Scheffler. Scotty.
Yep.
And I've got Finau. Minus one, you've got Palmer.
Yep.
I've got Na. Even. You're going Hughes, and I'm going Billy O. Perfect.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And this is for dinner when I'm coming down your way.
Yes.
And we have to take the governor out, and it's our treat with him three ways.
That's a fair bet. I love that. Next time you're in town here in headquarters, we go to dinner, we bring the gov, and we just let him tell stories all day, because Billy Kratzer is one of the funniest human beings on the face of the earth telling stories. My goodness.
I can't wait.
He's got some great stories.
I'd be happy to even lose this bet. To be at that table, nothing better.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Coach, I appreciate it, man. Super stoked. You got the post game show going with the PGA Tour, and this was a lot of fun. I appreciate being on the podcast. Teach those kids. Let's keep our conversation going. I love it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thanks for having me on. Hello to all your listeners, and let's keep it going. We're just getting started. The world of golf is exploding, and let's explode with it.
Thanks, sounds good, buddy. All right, Coach. Talk to you soon.
All right, see you guys.
The football season is less than 10 days away, with the reigning champ set to take the field to kick off the season. There is no better place to get in on all of the action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. To celebrate week one of the football season, DraftKings is putting you in the center of the action with two shots at a $1 million top prize. So get in on all of the action now. Making it rain with DraftKings is easy. Draft your team, standard salary cap, and pile up points for yards, touchdowns, and so much more. On top of that amazing offer, DraftKings is giving away a share of up to $100 million in prizes to all users who enter their free football survivor pool. All you have to do is sign up for DraftKings, enter their survivor pool, and you'll instantly get a share of up to $100 million in giveaways. With all this cash up for grabs, there is no better place to get in on all of the actions than with DraftKings. Download the top-rated DraftKings app now and use promo code Travis to get a free shot at $1 million top prize. And for a limited time, get your share of $100 million in prizes once you enter DraftKings' free survivor pool. That's promo code Travis to get in on all of the action for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum $5 deposit required. Other terms and conditions and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.